This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
Now, once again, allow us to express our greetings and our gratitude to the rest of you. And before we begin, we once again remind you that there continues to exist that opportunity for you to be involved in that silent communication or that telepathic interaction and exchange of information with other entities that would be with us on this afternoon, or once again indeed that portion that you like to refer to as your higher self, or that spot of consciousness that you are. And while we would encourage you to be involved in that activity, we once again suggest that it is your choice, absolutely. Now, look at actual reality. We just suggested that over and over and over again. The reality that you experience is a reflection of your beliefs and belief systems. And the spark of consciousness that you are creates that reality without judging whether or not it's right or wrong, but simply gives to you that which you desire. If you wish to consciously influence that reality creation process, then once again, liking yourself and loving who you are consciously will enhance the process, absolutely. But it's can also be of assistance if you have some type of an understanding of how it is, of the methods or the techniques, if you wish. How do you create this reality? For you each do it by the same manner, whether you understand it in your conscious state or not. If you wish to influence your reality consciously, then consciously be aware of what it is that you desire. Now, it's not necessary to have a whole list of desires, but that's not unnecessary or not a bad thing either if you wish to be involved in that type of reality creation process. But to begin with, if you were to focus on one desire, something that you would believe that you can bring into your reality, and it will give you the confidence to continue developing methods and techniques that will facilitate and assist you in your conscious creation process. So understand what it is that you desire. Be very specific. If you desire to be involved in a relationship, then be specific about what type of relationship that it is. And we've spoken earlier this afternoon about being involved in a loving relationship and understanding what that is, to be involved in a loving relationship. And so understanding that when you're involved in a relationship and you desire to have a relationship, be specific about what it is that you desire to experience in those relationships and interactions with others. For you are in control of those interactions, of those relationships. It's your choice. You're not forced to be in any type of circumstance or relationship that you don't at some level of your consciousness choose to be involved in. When you see two individuals involved in what you refer to as an abusive situation, well, it can be difficult for you to grasp in your conscious state the understanding that each of them chooses to be involved in that type of interaction and relationship. What perhaps can be even more difficult is for you to grasp the concept that the victim in an abusive relationship frequently is the one who is in the most control of that relationship. When the victim chooses to end the interaction and that abusive relationship, then it is terminated. Now, you may, in your awakened consciousness, may not approve of the results or what comes from the termination of that relationship, but nonetheless, when the victim chooses to stop the abusive situation, when the victim chooses to no longer be a victim, it stops. The victim is in control. So, be aware that when you're involved in a relationship, it's by choice. Your choice. So, when we suggest that if you are desiring to be in a relationship, then understand what type of relationship you wish to be involved in. And then utilize your imagination of what it would be like to be involved in that relationship. You see, the only limitation to your creation process is your imagination. When you look at all of the technological advances that you seemingly have made in your, what you refer to as your modern society, all of those technological advances were as the result of someone utilizing their imagination. The only limitation to your creation process is your imagination. So when you're using or desiring to be involved in certain types of activities, utilize your imagination of what it would be like to be involved. And then perhaps the most difficult is your expectation. You see, if for example you desire to have abundance, and then you utilize your imagination of what that would be like to have that type of abundance, but then you don't hold the perception that it's possible for you to achieve that, if you don't have the expectation, then you will have difficulty in achieving that which you desire consciously. You will nonetheless choose and create what it is that you truly desire, which will be a validation of your expectations and your beliefs and belief systems. That it's not possible for you to achieve that. Or you may hold other belief systems that suggest that perhaps it may be possible, but it may not be the type of experience and the reality that one should experience. You may hold other belief systems that to have abundance somehow is not a very good thing to experience, that it is somehow makes you less than a worthy individual who must, because you choose to believe, go through certain types of suffering experiences. Your choices, absolutely. Your choices. And so, knowing what it is that you desire, utilizing your imagination and having the expectation, can facilitate and has an influence upon the reality that you experience. It influences the choices and your decisions and what you think and feel about certain interactions. It influences indeed the emotions that surround particular instances and experiences and creation processes. And once again, as we suggested, you exist in this reality, in this vibrational level, for the purpose of experiencing emotions. We would challenge each of you to take any particular activity that you're involved in and break it down to why you're involved in that activity, and continuously and honestly continue to go back and back until you come out to the final reason of why it is that you're trying to achieve or accomplish any type of activity in your awakened consciousness state, and invariably you will come back to because you desire to experience certain emotions or feelings. That's why you exist in this vibrational level. And so be aware of that. And so your emotions and your feelings will influence the choices and decisions. And your thoughts and your feelings will influence your emotions and feelings. And it's like a big circle where your choices and decisions will have an influence upon your expectation. Liking who you are loving yourself consciously will influence your expectations, understanding what your beliefs are. You see, when we suggest that the reality is a reflection of your beliefs, we refer to a reflection of beliefs or belief systems, a combination of beliefs. It's like you understand that this universe that you exist in is comprised of atoms. And the atoms combine to form molecules. And the molecules combine to form certain substances in your conscious state, in your universe. And through these substances, through these elements, you indeed experience different types of creations, different types of items in your day-to-day activities. And yet you understand that all of these items, all of these elements, are composed of very similar makeups of a combination of atoms and molecules. And so it is that your belief systems are combination of beliefs. Beliefs that come from your human consciousness belief systems, from your societal belief systems, and your individual belief systems, all wrapped together to form beliefs systems that influence the reality that you experience. And so, for example, you have a desire to perhaps purchase and to receive a new type of transportation, which you refer to as an automobile. And so you utilize your imagination of what that would be like to have that particular automobile to assist you in your transportation. And so you have the desire and you utilize the imagination of what it would be like. But your expectation is influenced by beliefs and belief systems. You may, on the other hand, hold beliefs and belief systems that somehow it's not good for your environment to continuously be utilizing this automobile. Or that somehow, when you purchase this automobile, you are utilizing some part of your abundance that would be best spent and utilized in other areas. And so when you have the desire and the imagination, the expectation is influenced by your beliefs and belief systems. And your belief systems, which not only are combination of this desire to have an automobile in this new form of transportation, but are also influenced by your other beliefs that somehow you are, through the utilization of this automobile, abandoning some of your other beliefs and belief systems that may be, once again, human consciousness belief systems or societal belief systems or individual belief systems. And as a result, it influences your thoughts and feelings. It influences your choices and decisions. And when you come down to this creating the reality of validating what it is that you desire, you really don't have the expectation, because that expectation is once again influenced by your thoughts and feelings, by the beliefs and belief systems that you hold. And so it can be very complicated at times, and yet the simplicity of it is the reality you experience is a reflection of the beliefs you hold. Many of those beliefs, once again, are put in place in your altered states of consciousness and are very difficult to alter, but not impossible. So pay attention to what it is that you desire, what it is that you utilize as imagination, and perhaps most importantly, what are your expectations? Because you, without fail, receive what it is that you desire. That's the irony. You do this on a continual basis. This is not something that you can choose to do or not to do. It's one of the absolutes. You create your reality. You cannot change that. You can hide from it and do a very good job at times of hiding from it, and that's why you entered into this vibrational level, but nonetheless you cannot change it. You create your reality. It's a validation of your beliefs and belief systems. It gives to you without exception that which you desire. In this new age and new energy, you have the capacity and the opportunity to influence it from a conscious state in a manner that's been very difficult to you accomplish, for you to accomplish in your so-called past. So pay attention to what it is that you desire. And if you have those intuitive nagings that suggest that you really don't have the expectation to bring it into your reality, then work on the beliefs and belief systems. So it's important to understand that when you begin to correct your reality consciously and influence it consciously, we've suggested in our so-called past that once you begin the process, it's difficult for you to step back and reverse the process. Once you accept the responsibility for your reality creation process, you can't step back. And as a result, many times, which is in your so-called past, perceived to be your particular beliefs and thoughts about certain realities that you experience, in all likelihood they could change. Which you in your past, for example, would look upon as being extremely important in terms of abundance, may somehow now alter the importance. And it's difficult to go back. You can't put it away. You can't say, I don't like this anymore. And you begin to understand that your choices and your decisions, your thoughts and feelings, your beliefs and belief systems have that dramatic influence upon your reality, and you begin to have the capacity to consciously influence that reality. Many times, what you once thought was important may lose its importance, and for some relationships may change dramatically. The irony of it is that you can't go back. You exist in the now. And so your reality is a reflection of your beliefs. If you understand what it is that you desire, utilize your imagination, understand what your expectation is, understand how your thoughts and feelings and your choices and your decisions influence and affect the expectation. Like who you are, love yourself consciously, and you can begin to consciously influence your manner in a way that's been very difficult for you to accomplish in the past. When you entered into this vibrational level, once again we suggested to you that you agreed to facilitate and to participate and to sustain what we refer to as the human consciousness belief systems. And one of those belief systems, and perhaps one of the most difficult for you to step outside of, if you wish, while in your awakened consciousness state, is your belief in time and space. You believe that there is a past and a present and a future, and yet there really isn't. The irony of it is that by the time we finish making that statement, this so-called future has already become the past, and yet, for all intents and purposes, you would hold that all in the now as we are conversing on one particular subject. And yet, once again, when you make a statement, by the time you finish that statement, your future has become your past. There is no present. You exist in the now. There is no future and there is no past. It defies explanation. You see, each time you attempt to utilize the vocabulary, we talk about the now for all intents and purposes, is referring to that instance between your past and your future, the present. It really doesn't exist. It's all-encompassing. You exist in the now. Time and space are illusionary that only exist in your awakened consciousness state, and to a certain extent are continued to be held as beliefs and belief systems in your altered states of consciousness. And so, when you exist in this reality, and you believe in that passage of time and space, and you go to great lengths to validate it, you go through these seemingly passages of time through incarnational periods where you are born and you go through certain stages of growth and you go through what you refer to as your adolescence and your maturity and into your old age, and then you die. And for many, in your awakened consciousness state, you look upon that as all there is. And yet, in your altered states of consciousness, this illusion of time only exists in your awakened conscious state. It's an illusion. But once again, an illusion that you go to great lengths to validate in this awakened consciousness state. When you are in your altered states of consciousness, the irony of it is that when you meditate or when you are in your dream state, you can be in various stages of existence. Not only various stages of existence in this incarnational period, but even in other incarnational periods, should you choose to believe and to participate and to have the access to those seemingly what you refer to as past lifetimes. The irony of it is that it's not past lifetimes. And for some who can grasp that concept that the past and the present don't really exist, they are even experiencing or do experience their incarnations in your so-called future or future lifetime. Time and space don't exist is a very difficult concept to grasp. But when we spoke earlier, we spoke about a multitude of vibrational levels that exist in the same time and same space, similar to your frequencies that you broadcast through once again throughout your Earth's atmosphere. You are a multidimensional personality. You are so much more than what you can perceive and even comprehend in your awakened consciousness state. You are involved in a multitude of creations in the same time and same span, in the now, once again, for lack of better terminology. And through these incarnations that you believe are passages of time occur in the same time and same span, you are, as a multidimensional personality, involved in a multitude of incarnational periods. And you, in those incarnational periods, are aware of the conscious state in each one. And not only are you aware of that conscious state in each one, but in each one you believe that that is the most important. We had suggested that, were you, in your awakened consciousness state, able to understand who and what you truly are, that you would be perceived as being insane. You would not be able to function within the limitations that you put upon your incarnational state in your awakened consciousness state. You are a multidimensional personality existing in a multitude of incarnational periods that are occurring within the same time and same space. Not only are you involved in those different incarnational periods, you are involved in different interactions and relationships with similar entities in those incarnational periods. You may in one particular incarnational period be experiencing a reality as the opposite gender to what you are in this incarnational period. You may in another incarnational period be experiencing a different type of relationship than you are with the entities that you are involved in relationships in this particular incarnational period. For example, someone who may be a sibling in this particular incarnational period may be a mate in your other incarnational period, or even your mother or father or some distant relative, or even just someone that you know in another incarnational period. You have a tendency many times to continuously be involved in incarnational periods where you are interacting with many of the same entities that you experience in this incarnational period. When you meet someone in this incarnational period and you believe that somehow you know that entity, it's because you do know that entity. Chance encounters are something that don't happen in your incarnational period. You create your reality absolutely, 100%. If you're involved in these incarnational periods, and you look in this incarnational period, and there will be someone who utilizes their imagination because they have a desire to have an experience, and they begin to, for example, be on some quest to discover something about your past. Now understand, the past is illusionary. It doesn't exist. Only in your awakened consciousness that. And so you have this desire. You have this imagination of what it would be like to make this discovery. And then you continuously make the choices and the decisions. And you hold the necessary feelings and attitudes and belief systems. You have the expectation that you will make this discovery if you just utilize the persistence that's necessary. And lo and behold, entities discover various seemingly artifacts from your so-called past that somehow didn't seem to be there even a week ago, or a month ago, or a few years ago. Why is that? Because it's an illusion. Because it doesn't really exist. Because entities could have walked over that for years and years and not been aware, because it wasn't there. But when you make that choice, when you utilize the desire and the imagination and the expectation, you change your past. This is not something that's only occurring randomly. It's something that is once again a validation of your belief. You create your reality without exception. Time and space are illusionary. You change your so-called past as readily as you change your future. You are a multi-dimensional personality involved in other incarnational periods. And whether you understand it or not, the choices and decisions that you make as an entity in those other incarnational periods are indeed handled, influenced, and created from a position of absolute love from the spark of consciousness that you are, and can influence and do influence the reality that you experience in this incarnational period and all of the others. You are a multidimensional personality who is involved in a multidimensional creation process which is all interacting. And in each one of those incarnational periods, you are an entity who believes in your awakened consciousness state that that's all there is. That is the most important reality that you're involved in. That's a difficult concept to grasp, but when you grasp it and when you apply it to the everyday occurrences that you're involved in, then it can give some type of an insight into who and what you truly are. It can be very awakening, if you wish to use that term, although we hesitate to utilize it, because this is not a case of becoming more aware of who you are. You are all that is. You choose to limit the awareness. And yet, through that limitation of the awareness, is a very you choose to limit the understanding of all of the multidimensional personalities that you are. It's very hard to give you an accurate analogy. But you can understand, when you're involved in interactions with other entities in this particular incarnational period in your awakened consciousness state, you portray many times a multitude of personalities. You see an individual who, perhaps in their choice of employment, can be very, very strict, very stringent, very difficult to get beyond the seemingly wall that they established to separate themselves from others, one portion of their personality. And then you see them involved in a relationship, and you see an entirely different aspect of their personality. And you see them when they lose their temper, and again they're into another aspect of their personality. And so even in one particular incarnational period, you can begin to grasp the concept that you are a multidimensional personality. Well, we're suggesting that you are a multidimensional personality, similarly in a multitude of incarnational periods that are occurring in the now. And similarly to how your choices and your decisions in your awake incarnational period, when you express that anger or when you express that love for another entity, all combine to influence the reality you experience in your awakened consciousness state, so it is that all of the experiences that you have in all of these various incarnational periods that you're involved in combine to influence who and what you truly are. To influence the personalities that you express and that you experience in any one particular incarnational period. Go with inside. The answers you seek are with inside. The ability to influence and to interact with those other portions of your multidimensional personality are available to you through your inside meditation, through your altered states of consciousness. Go with inside. When you are in your awakened consciousness state, you are in the most difficult state of consciousness for you to perpetuate or to sustain. When you enter your consciousness and enter into a dream state and into a sleep state, that is a much easier state for you to sustain. For example, when you are in this awakened consciousness state, you all know that you will sleep and you will dream. You all absolutely are positive that you will not sustain this awakened consciousness state. Not only will not, but cannot. You will sleep. You will alter your consciousness. And in that dream state, you will be interacting with these other portions of your multidimensional personality. And many times, you get glimpses of that interaction, and when you reawake, it's all distorted because you choose to limit your capacity once again to understand who and what you truly are and the process you utilize to create your reality. But nonetheless, when you awake, you once again realize that this conscious state cannot be sustained. And yet you can enter into that dream state, and it's much easier to sustain. Difficult for some to achieve, but once you achieve it, easier to sustain. It's more real. And you also understand absolutely that through your conscious belief systems, through your human consciousness belief systems and societal belief systems and individual belief systems combined, that you will at some point terminate this incarnational period. You will die. You don't really die, you enter your state of consciousness. And you enter into what we refer to as a between incarnational state of consciousness, slightly, if you wish to utilize the term, slightly removed from the deep dream state of consciousness. And in that state, each of you will have no trouble believing that it's possible to sustain it for a very long time. Not only do you believe that it's possible to sustain it for a very long time in relationship to your belief in time and space, for many, you believe that you're there for eternity. What a very sad thought, isn't it? That you're in that state for eternity. You're only there because you choose to be involved in that state. The irony of it is, when you reach that state, the veil, this electromagnetic type of energy that you put in place, becomes thin enough that it becomes difficult for you to sustain these beliefs and these illusionary realities. Many individuals believe, for example, that when you die, you're going to be subjected to some type of existence in some type of a reality that's removed from this reality. Believe it to the point where they spend the majority of their time imagining it, desiring it, and expecting it. And then when you die, when you go through that state of consciousness, and you enter into that between incarnational state, there it is. There it is, exactly what you choose to believe, what you choose to believe. It's important you grasp that understanding. It's your choice. As you enter into that state, depending upon the various religious belief systems that you might choose to be involved in, it could be some part of a reality where everything is absolutely perfect. The feeling you exist in that reality, that you have created in that altered state of consciousness, once again, because you are in a position where it is very difficult to sustain the reality without understanding that you are the creator of the reality, of the illusion, and you begin to realize that when you change a belief, you can alter that reality, not only can, but do instantly alter that reality, then it becomes a whole different scenario. It's like when you're dreaming. And you alter it. It's possible for you to become, and many of you have, very proficient at what you refer to as lucid dreaming. You're involved in an interaction in a reality, which is, by the way, more real than what you experience in your awakened consciousness state. And you, through remaining aware of what it is that you're experiencing, utilize conscious thought to influence this lucid dream, and you can influence the outcome. You can influence what occurs. Very difficult to come back into the conscious state and retain the memory of what it was that you experienced. Many times it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because you choose, once again, to put in place that electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand what it is that you're involved in creating in that opposite state or in that altered state of consciousness. So it is when you're in the between incarnational state. You're still influenced by this veil, by the capacity to understand who and what you truly are. But at that state, it's much more thin, if you wish. Now, we utilize terms to give you some type of a comprehension based upon your belief in time and space. We don't really exist. So this altered state of consciousness, this between incarnational state, is there. You're involved in that state. It's difficult. It defies explanation. It can be utilized once again through the utilization of the vocabulary. So we base it upon your belief in time and space, that when you die, you're in this between incarnational state. And if you choose to believe that you're going to be involved in some type of a reality, and you have a preconceived concept of what that reality will be, then you can have that. You really can, but will. Just much more difficult to sustain it. And you begin to realize that you're in control. You begin to realize that it's possible for you to influence these realities, these incarnational periods, by making the choices of what it is that you desire to experience without knowing that you're the creator, so that you can intensify the emotions and feelings that are associated with that incarnational period. And so you make the choices and the decisions of what it is that's possible for you to achieve and to experience in those particular incarnational periods, and you put it in place. And many times, once again, it's stored in your genetic makeup and in your DNA. And then as you enter into this incarnational period, you make the choices and decisions. You hold the thoughts and feelings that influence the energy that surrounds the DNA. And you take what was a belief system that you put in place in an altered state of consciousness and turn it from a possibility into a probability, or conversely from a probability into a possibility, and you either experience it or you end the experience. All based upon beliefs and belief systems that you choose in that altered state of consciousness. The one which is the easiest for you to maintain. The one which you, each of you, many times believe you can enter into infinitely. For many, they believe that this incarnational state is the only last time that you will achieve or that you will experience. We suggest that you're involved in a multitude of incarnational periods, all in the now. You are a multidimensional personality. You are all that is. And so when you become involved in this incarnational period and you have a desire and you have this imagination of what it would be like to discover and to understand what occurred in your so-called past, which hasn't occurred any more than your future, but nonetheless, and you believe it has, and through that belief and through that desire and imagination and the expectation, because of all of the effort that you put into it and your expectations and your choices and decisions and your thoughts and feelings, you just know that it's going to be there, and you create it. And you alter your past, and you do it on a regular basis. That's the irony. You do it whether you choose to believe you do or not. You create your reality. You are the God you search for, and you cannot fail. And we're not just talking about the reality of whether or not you're going to be able to get up and walk out of this room. We're talking about the reality of whether or not this room exists. You create it all, including your past, your so-called present, and your so-called future. Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
I'd like to ask about the DNA. A king in England was discovered, the bones, and he lived 400 years ago. And someone in, I think, Canada had the same DNA, and they recognized the relationship between the king and the person that's living in this particular time period. How can you explain the DNA connection?
We've spoken about the past and your present and your future not existing. That's an illusion. It really doesn't exist. So you continuously, once again, change your past. In this incarnational period, in your so-called modern times, your scientists have discovered what they like to refer to as DNA. The discovery to which you've been married, if not within this particular recent generation, certainly within your so-called last century of time. So you would beg the question, did DNA exist before you imagined that it was there? You see, scientists like to be able to prove that something exists. And if you once again desire and have the imagination and the expectation, you can alter your reality. Not only can, but do. And so when you begin to look at what you refer to as the DNA, what your scientists like to refer to as the DNA, when they first discovered the DNA, and they call it a discovery rather than a correction, when they first discovered the DNA, there was many parts of that DNA that they could not understand why it existed. It seemingly had no relative connection to the current existence of that individual. And many of the scientists even went so far as to say that it was simply a carryover from your evolutionary process, and it has lost its effectiveness in influencing the reality that you experience. The discovery, however, that not only is it not a carryover, but rather that it is the potential to have certain experiences within a particular incarnational period, the potential to activate that portion of the DNA, that brings into individuals, for example, the possibility for diseases, the possibility for what you might refer to as addictions or afflictions. It exists within the DNA. It exists because you choose to believe it exists. In your so-called past, in order to once again validate and to authenticate and to give some part of an explanation that can be validated as a scientific explanation, in other words, the capacity to duplicate, then the DNA had to be able to be traced back to many, many generations. And in fact, many of your scientists are claiming to be able to trace it back to one individual that was so-called the first human that existed in your seemingly modern times. And so it stands to reason that an entity that is discovered from your so-called centuries ago has a DNA which can be traced to other entities that exist within this incarnational period. It validates the scientific belief that the DNA is transferred from one entity to another, to another, through the process of evolution. It's an illusion. Is it a significant illusion? Absolutely. Does it lend credibility to the emotions and feelings that those scientists and other entities experience surrounding that seemingly discovery? Absolutely. Is it real? It's as real as any other experience that you have in your awakened consciousness state. It's a validation of beliefs and belief systems. What you believe is validated in the reality you experience without exception. And so when your scientists and other entities begin to believe that the DNA is passed from one entity to another, to another, to another, through the process of evolution, and that it can be traced back to what you refer to as the beginning of time, in terms of the human involvement in this reality, this world that you exist in, if you believe it, it's possible. And it validates, once again, the scientific understanding of what DNA is and how it influences the realities that you experience. What's significant to understand, and that your scientists are beginning to understand, and in the situation, in the case that you refer to, will eventually discover that the affliction that that entity carried during that particular incarnational period is an affliction that can be traced back to the seemingly called junk in the DNA. And it exists even, once again, through your scientific belief in the transference of genetic and DNA characteristics through various individuals and through the process of evolution, that particular portion or possibility for that affliction exists within the DNA that can be traced from that individual, even to individuals that are existing today and who will continue to exist and to carry on, if you wish, that DNA line. It exists. It validates what they are discovering, that the genetic and the DNA not only can be traced, but that the characteristics are transferred from one generation to another in perpetuity and exist even now, although they have not yet discovered within the DNA of the individuals that they are testing, that are seemingly related to that individual, that the possibility for the affliction that that individual chose to experience is carried in the DNA of these individuals that exist as his seemingly ancestors in your particular incarnational period and as the descendants from those other ancestors. Does that make sense? Well now, once again, we would like to suggest to each of you that this has been a very enjoyable interaction, and we would suggest as well that we come to interact and to share with each of you and to learn from each of you and to interact and to learn from our friend Elias. The information that we share with you is information that you desire to hear. It is available to each of you, with inside each of you. It's not like we have the access to some type of information that's not available to each of you. We utilize our connection with our friend Elias and with other aspects of his multi-dimensional personality to give to you the desired message that you wish to hear. All of that information is available to each of you far more readily than it is available to us. We would suggest that if you were to go within inside, you will find the answers that you seek, each of you. And so, while this has been most enjoyable interaction, and once again, we are appreciative of the opportunity to interact and to share with each of you, we would remind you that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level, and should you choose to interact with us, and you have but to express the intent, and we would welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. And so we would bid you farewell with love and with peace.